NPR.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Today we're going to talk about that summit meeting between President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin. And we're going to open up the phone lines and take your phone calls about it. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. We'll hear some sound bites from yesterday, and we'll hear some sound bites that were generated overnight from politicians. We'll hear some news reports, and we're going to get your phone calls, too. Well, yesterday, forced to choose between the Russian dictator who helped him win the White House and the American prosecutors laying out the crimes committed in doing so, the U.S. president sided with Vladimir Putin. In an extraordinary 46-minute news conference in Helsinki with Putin by his side, U.S. President Trump called Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian election interference a witch hunt and said both countries were to blame for their poor relationship, not Russia's actions that included the invasion and annexation of Crimea. From the George W. Bush administration until now, the U.S. has punished Russia with economic and diplomatic sanctions for actions that include Russia's invasion of Georgia in 2008, its invasion of Ukraine in 2014 to seize Crimea, the shooting down of an airliner that killed 298 passengers and crew, its interference in elections in the U.S. and in elections in Western Europe, and most recently, the use of nerve agent in England that poisoned four people, killing one. Trump addressed none of that, though, saying, "I think we're all to blame." Reading that from the Huffington Post this morning. Let's go back to yesterday's press conference after the one-on-one meeting between President Trump and Vladimir Putin. And let's listen to some of the questions that were asked by reporters, some of the answers given by the two leaders of the country, and then we're going to take your phone calls, 813-239-9663. First of all, when asked a question, Trump retreated to something that he's talked about a lot before, and that is that he beat Hillary Clinton during the election.
President Putin, if I could follow up as well. Why should Americans and why should President Trump believe your statement that Russia did not intervene in the 2016 election, given the evidence that U.S. intelligence agencies have provided? And will you consider extraditing the 12 officials that were indicted last week by a U.S. grand jury?
Well, I'm going to let the president answer the second part of that question. But as you know, the whole concept of that came up perhaps a little bit before, but it came out as a reason why the Democrats lost an election, which, frankly, they should have been able to win because the Electoral College is much more advantageous for Democrats, as you know, than it is to Republicans. We won the Electoral College by a lot, 306 to 223, I believe. And that was a well-fought battle. We did a great job. And frankly, I'm going to let the president speak to the second part of your question. But just to say it one time again, and I say it all the time, there was no collusion. I didn't know the president. There was nobody to collude with. There was no collusion with the campaign. And every time you hear all of these, you know, 12 and 14, it's stuff that has nothing to do. And frankly, they admit these are not people involved in the campaign. But to the average reader out there, they're saying, well, maybe that does. It doesn't. And even the people involved, some perhaps told misstories, although in one case, the FBI said there was no lie. There was no lie. Somebody else said there was. We ran a brilliant campaign, and that's why I'm president. Thank you.
As to who is to be believed and who is not to be believed, you can trust no one if you take this. Where did you get this idea that President Trump trusts me or I trust him? He defends the interests of the United States of America, and I do defend the interests of the Russian Federation. We do have interests that are common. We are looking for points of contact. There are issues where our postures diverge, and we are looking for ways to reconcile our differences, how to make our effort more meaningful. We should not proceed from the immediate political interests that guide certain political powers in our countries. We should be guided by facts. Could you name a single fact that would definitively prove the collusion? This is utter nonsense. Just like the president recently mentioned.
Vladimir Putin yesterday, along with President Trump, talking at the press conference after their one-on-one meeting. We're going to hear some more of their statements in just a moment right here on 88.5 FM. Here, Vladimir Putin offers to help investigate the American election, the allegations of meddling in the election.
Once again, President Trump mentioned the issue of the so-called interference of Russia in the American elections, and I had to reiterate things I said several times, including during our personal contacts, that the Russian state has never interfered and is not going to interfere into internal American affairs, including election process. Any specific material, if such things arise, we are ready to analyze together. For instance, we can analyze them through the Joint Working Group on Cybersecurity, the establishment of which we discussed during our previous contacts.
And President Trump said yesterday that he believes that Putin is telling the truth when it comes to the question of meddling in the U.S. election.
The United States will go to Jonathan Lemire from the AP.
Thank you. Question for each president. President Trump, yes. You first. Just now, President Putin denied having anything to do with the election interference in 2016. Every U.S. intelligence agency has concluded that Russia did. My first question for you, sir, is who do you believe? My second question is, would you now, with the whole world watching, tell President Putin, would you denounce what happened in 2016, and would you warn him to never do it again?
So let me just say that we have two thoughts. You have groups that are wondering why the FBI never took the server. Why haven't they taken the server? Why was the FBI told to leave the office of the Democratic National Committee? I've been wondering that. I've been asking that for months and months, and I've been tweeting it out and calling it out on social media. Where is the server? I want to know, where is the server, and what is the server saying? With that being said, all I can do is ask the question. My people came to me, Dan Coats came to me, and some others. They said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be, but I really do want to see the server. But I have confidence in both parties. I really believe that this will probably go on for a while, but I don't think it can go on without finding out what happened to the server. What happened to the servers of the Pakistani gentleman that worked on the DNC? Where are those servers? They're missing. Where are they? What happened to Hillary Clinton's emails? 33,000 emails, gone, just gone. I think in Russia they wouldn't be gone so easily. I think it's a disgrace that we can't get Hillary Clinton's 33,000 emails. So I have great confidence in my intelligence people, but I will tell you that President Putin was extremely strong and powerful in his denial today. And what he did is an incredible offer. He offered to have the people working on the case come and work with their investigators with respect to the 12 people. I think that's an incredible offer. Okay, thank you.
President Trump seeming to accept President Putin's offer to help investigate the alleged Russian meddling in the campaign. Well, the response was swift across the board. Democrats and Republicans appeared shocked after President Trump sided with President Putin during an appearance in Helsinki on Monday. Trump's saying that he believed Putin's denial of interfering in the 2016 elections was a remarkable break with U.S. intelligence officials and the Justice Department, and there was some criticism from Republican quarters.
Senator John McCain calls President Trump's press conference, quote, one of the most disgraceful performances by an American president in memory. The Arizona Republican says the summit with Russian President Putin was a, quote, tragic mistake. From Republican Bob Corker, President Trump's refusal to condemn Russian interference in the 2016 election makes the U.S. look, quote, like a pushover. And from House Speaker Paul Ryan, there's no question that Russia interfered in the 2016 election. Ukraine, and he adds the president must appreciate that Russia is not our ally. Shelley Adler, Washington.
So what did you think of the press conference yesterday and what President Trump said about Russian meddling in the election? Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Our email address, dj@wmnf.org. What did you think of the press conference yesterday? Let's listen to one more Republican reacting to that press conference. Here's Senator Jeff Flake from Arizona.
The Senate ought to very quickly pass legislation, a resolution in support of the conclusions of the FBI and DOJ with these indictments and reaffirm our commitment to hold Russia to account. Now, all we can do is pass legislation that the president can't veto. I hope we do. It's one thing to heap praise on dictators and authoritarians, as he's done continually for the last couple of years, but another to belittle our own allies and demean them. And I just don't understand it.
Jeff Flake, a Republican senator from Arizona, who's stepping down from the Senate this year. What do you think? What did you think of what Flake said? 813-239-9663. Here's Chuck Schumer, the minority leader in the U.S. Senate, the Democratic leader in the U.S. Senate, speaking on the Senate floor yesterday about that press conference.
Starting with the president's trip to NATO, ending with his shameful performance at today's press conference, President Trump has strengthened our adversaries while weakening our defenses and those of our allies. Millions of Americans will continue to wonder if the only possible explanation for this dangerous behavior is the possibility that President Putin holds damaging information over President Trump.
Do you think that's true? Our phone number again, 813-239-9663. And you are listening to 88.5 FM. We heard the president previously say that there was no collusion, no one to collude with. He said the Electoral College favors Democrats. Putin said that the Russian state has never interfered in the internal affairs of America. And Trump said that why didn't the FBI take the servers? He was trying to steer the conversation away from Russian collusion and toward what he thinks is an incomplete investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails. So we heard President Trump raise several issues. The servers that were owned by the DNC, a server that a Pakistani computer expert had access to. The guy was working for the Democrats, and Hillary Clinton's emails came up again. And we heard President Trump say that President Putin was strong and powerful in his denial of election meddling. What do you think? 813-239-9663. Over the weekend, a woman, a Russian, was arrested by U.S. officials for allegedly trying to influence the outcome of the election. She reportedly worked with the NRA and an unnamed American political party.
Court papers filed to make the arrest of Maria Butina accuse her of participating in a conspiracy that began in 2015, in which an unnamed senior Russian official assigned her to infiltrate American political organizations with the goal of reporting back to Moscow. Prosecutors say Butina was ordered to meet with U.S. politicians and candidates, attend events including the National Prayer Breakfast and NRA events, and she organized Russian-American friendship dinners in Washington. A witness who worked with Butina, cited in court papers, says they set up a private line of communication between the Kremlin and key officials in an American political party, not named, but that link came through the National Rifle Association. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
So what do you think about all this? 813-239-9663. The former CIA director, John Brennan, who worked under President Obama, said President Trump's actions yesterday were treasonous. There's been some very harsh talk. What do you think? 813-239-9663. And let's go to Les in Fort Myers. Les, you're on. What do you think about this controversy?
Well, what gets me, maybe I've missed something, but I've been listening to you the biggest part of the morning. And what the president has said, basically, you stop and think about that. Where is the server? Yeah, where's the proof that these guys keep saying Russia's all, involved in our politics? The man just said, show me the proof. Putin has already said that he would do what he could do to help find out what the problems are if there are people, that's involved in all this. And now they're talking about the president being treasonous. What did he say that sounds treasonous? I mean, the man from what I've seen and followed and listened to, the man tells people the truth. And the problem is the American people, not all of us, I think some of us got enough sense, but a lot of American people, they don't want to know what the truth is because they don't know the truth when they're looking at it. I totally disagree with, and buddy, I'm so aggravated right now, I can't see straight, but I agree with the president. Where's the proof that Putin and them are involved in our politics, and why is everything with Mueller stacking up, trying to stack up against the president, but yet nothing's been revealed on anything like that?
And Les, what did you think of the arrest of the Russian woman over the weekend, allegedly involved with an American political party that's not yet been named, and also allegedly involved with the NRA trying to influence the election? What did you make of that arrest?
I don't have enough information on that, sir, to make a comment on it. I just caught the tail end of that, so I don't know what that's all about.
And Les, if the president's overseas and he says nice things about President Putin and believes him when it comes to what our U.S. intelligence agencies are saying about Russian meddling, the president siding with Putin, that's what I think Brennan was suggesting was treasonous. But for you, what's your take on that?
My take on that is, I don't see where he's siding with Putin. What I say is the president is questioning where is the proof, and Putin says he's not involved in it. Where's the proof that says Putin's involved in it or his party? So I don't see where the president has agreed with anything as per se. He's just questioning, how are you coming up with this information, and where's the proof that you've got that says this man's guilty of being involved in our politics.
And with the latest Mueller indictments on Friday, in which at least 12 Russian government officials were named in that indictment, that doesn't raise questions for you.
But the question's right back to where we were. You know, where's the server? Where's the proof? Mueller's been saying all kinds of things when you stop and think about that. You know what I'm saying? So where is the proof that Mueller's talking the right talk?
All right, Les, thanks a lot. Thanks for starting off the conversation.
All right, brother.
All right. Okay, so you heard Les. There's somebody that sides with the president. What do you think? 813-239-9663 is our phone number. What do you think of this controversy that's erupted in the last 24 hours? We're going to go to Peter in Plant City. Peter, thank you for calling in. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. I just wanted to mention a couple of things. First, without all of the Russia talk that's going on, it seems almost mandatory to mention Crimea. And it's also mandatory to not mention the referendum that was actually held there, in which 96% of people chose to join the Russian Federation and step away from Ukraine, which was getting closer to the European Union, which I think ultimately that's really what this is all about. The Steele dossier has been proven false. The fact that we're still talking about it is just insanity. And really, it's the mainstream media, the central bank, the European Union, the World Trade Organization. They all know Trump, Putin. These are people that want a sovereign country. They cannot have that for what they want.
And who really who's behind this conspiracy, Peter?
I just listed it. I mean, it's not really even a conspiracy.
It's the central banks. About. The central banks you're saying are part of the conspiracy?
I would say absolutely, because when Trump
and who runs the banks, Peter, who runs the banks?
Let me just when Trump started.
Peter, who runs the banks?
You mean who runs the banks?
Yeah,
bankers run the banks.
Yeah. Okay, Peter.
In most countries.
Peter, and where was it proved that the Steele document was wrong, the dossier? Where was that proved?
I'm kind of flabbergasted by that statement. What about it has been proven right?
Well, I don't think it's been. I don't think it's been.
Wrote it came out and said.
Yeah, you know, I don't think the Steele dossier has been vetted 100%. I think there are people who would like for it to be 100% wrong. There are people that would like for it to be 100% right. But we haven't gone through point by point yet to get to the bottom of it. So nobody's proved it either way. So when you say it's been disproved, that's not true. People that say it's been proved, that's not true. It's not been proven either way. So don't go out on a limb.
Well, I will go out on a limb on that one and say that what they're accusing occurred in that.
We don't know. We don't know.
Investigation. We've still got.
Do you think that Putin has anything? Do you think that Putin has anything on President Trump?
Say, it went out of their way to say, no, there was no collusion, and we can't prove that. And it just seems so clear that Donald Trump is trying to steer America away from giving up our sovereignty and having to basically, you know, cede even more power to a larger regional government above the federal government.
All right. Yeah, we got to watch out for that big UN. Peter, thanks a lot. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Gary in Dunedin. Gary, what do you think about the controversy?
Well, it would help a lot, and I know it's hard to do it, if the media would report the entire context that shows the links going back many years between the Trump Organization and Russian oligarch billionaires and mafioso, would also report the biography of Vladimir Putin. You don't get to be a colonel in the KGB by being an honest man or a nice man. People seem to forget who Trump is praising. He insults the president of Germany. He insults Theresa May. He insults civil rights protesters. He insults immigrants. He insults Bob Mueller. He insults members of his own party, including John McCain. But he has nothing but good to say for a former KGB hitman who is way smarter than him and obviously has something on him, probably Russian money laundering. And I'll say one last thing. You want to talk about biography, politics, cult of personality. Basically, it's Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin together and a team versus Bob Mueller. And anybody ought to look up Bob Mueller's biography. That guy was such a patriot that when his friend was sent off and killed in the Vietnam War, Bob Mueller, even though he was in an Ivy League school and didn't have to go to the war at all, he volunteered to serve in the Marines. The Marines turned him down because he had a college sports injury to his knee. What did Bob Mueller do? He rehabbed his knee specifically so he could get into the Marines, and then he went and fought and risked his life for this country. What was Donald Trump doing at the exact same time? I'll tell you what. These people that still support Trump, they don't understand history, they don't understand facts, they don't understand law, they don't understand integrity, they certainly don't understand Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump. Both of those men lack integrity and character, and they're in bed together.
All right, Gary, thanks. Thanks for your comments. All right, so we're getting two people in support of President Trump, and then Gary was the first one to be critical today. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Somebody anonymously from the 813 area code says, the fake president spent 2.5 hours colluding with Putin yesterday, writes 813. And then Jack writes this, if all those folks who voted for Trump do not see what he stands for and who he represents, making all kinds of reasons to think otherwise, there may be little hope for bringing this country together, writes Jack, who's in Palm Harbor. What do you think? You're listening to 88.5 FM. This is Radioactivity. Let's listen to a little bit of what Carl Bernstein of Watergate fame, the Watergate investigative reporter, said this morning on CNN about the press conference yesterday.
This is a genuine national security emergency, whether through incompetence or questioning his loyalty or whether he is ignorant. The President of the United States cannot be entrusted with the national security of the United States. That's what we saw on that stage where the two leaders appeared yesterday. We've never had a moment in our history like this in the country where serious people of both parties are questioning the loyalty of the President of the United States. Unprecedented, and we now have to figure out how to deal with a President of the United States who wittingly or unwittingly has been compromised. What we saw yesterday was collusion, witting or unwitting, in the President's words and attitudes toward Putin as the two stood there.
And so, Carl, what does happen next? What do you think happens next if it's a crisis to the level that you're talking about?
I think this is a moment for Republicans to define who they are, as they did in Watergate when they decided that we could not have a criminal president of the United States. Republicans now have to speak out and say that we cannot have a president of the United States whose loyalty is being questioned. We need to hold him to the rule of law. One of the problems here, and all the Republicans that I talk to know this, that the president lies incessantly. And part of the problem here is the president has been lying about the Russian investigation and what it means and the role of himself and his family in terms of their relationships with Russians, ethno-Russians, and the rule of law. And if Republicans cannot insist that this president stop this kind of conduct, allow this investigation, it's no accident that this is occurring at exactly the moment when Mueller is closing in on the collusion issue. So we have a genuine national emergency here to deal with, and only Republicans can deal with it effectively, and so that we can unite and hold the President of the United States accountable for what he must do.
Carl Bernstein, the investigative reporter, worked on Watergate with Bob Woodward, and that was this morning. That's what he said this morning on CNN, essentially saying Republicans need to speak out about a president whose loyalty is in question. What do you think about that? 813-239-9663. Jason writes this. This is a question. Do you think Trump is incapable of understanding the difference between election meddling and collusion, or is he intentionally conflating those two things to keep his base ignorant? Jason, I've seen reports that he doesn't understand the difference, but I don't know because I've not talked to the president. Elio writes this, it's hard to believe that there are people with such low IQs as your last caller. I think we all know who the political party is. It's pretty obvious who it is. That's Elio, who was writing in about our second caller today. 813-239-9663. You are listening to 88.5 FM. And let's go to David in Tampa. David, what do you think of the press conference yesterday and the summit meeting?
Oh, I definitely agreed with John McCain and that it was a kind of a disgrace. But, you know, I wasn't terribly surprised that Trump would back Putin, because I think he's a little cowardly, in my opinion, honestly. And one thing I found interesting, too, is the Chris Wallace one-on-one with Putin. I don't know if you saw that or saw some of the quotes from that.
Chris was pretty tough on Putin because he asked Putin about his record, including killing opponents. I don't have the sound bites, though.
And it was kind of interesting how Putin said something about about the opponents being killed. He said, well, you know, you have your American president killed, you know, back home, you know, and he's talking about MLK and John F. Kennedy, and it just was like, oh my God, just kind of shaking my head and thinking, why would you possibly trust a man like this?
I didn't have time, but those Chris Wallace asked some good questions yesterday. All right, David, thanks a lot.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks. 813-239-9663 is our phone number here at WMNF 88.5 FM. We're going to go to Dan in Tampa. Dan, what did you think?
Hey, good afternoon, Rob. Hey, to your first caller that was losing his words there, the reason probably Trump is not informed is because they're afraid maybe to inform him. If I recall correctly, the Israelis gave him some kind of information, and he blabbed it out to the Russians. Something on Syria or something that was going on the fighting end of it. And the Israelis were like put back going, oh my God, he's handing off our secret information out loud. And, you know, this is a man that doesn't want information from his intelligence. There is not a doubt in my mind that they have something on Trump. Whether it's money laundering, whatever, they have something on this man. And there's not a doubt. And what really is upsetting is when McCain makes his statement, you have people that will come out and say, well, is John McCain's mental status good with his brain tumor and such? And I'm thinking to myself, this is a man that was a hero. You know what I'm talking about, Rob. And you're talking about another man who has, I don't know, 15, 20 intelligence agencies giving him information about how the Russians are doing this,
And he still doesn't believe it. He goes, whose brain are you worried about?
Yeah. All right, Dan, thanks a lot. Okay. Thanks for your phone call. Tracy writes this, please encourage your listeners to read the entire indictment. It's only 29 pages long. It's not hard to read, and it lays out all the proof very clearly. That's Tracy from St. Pete. Well, an indictment isn't proof, but it is backing material that will lead to a court. Whether or not the allegations will be proved in court, we'll see. But I agree with Tracy that we should read that indictment. And I got to admit, I haven't done that yet. So I will, Tracy, and thanks. I hope our listeners will, too. James writes this, I've never personally dealt with cult-like people, but talking face-to-face or Facebook with Trump supporters, they seem not to accept facts. When you get away from their talking points, they either get mad or they go silent. I did believe that we would recover post-Trump, but now I'm not so sure, writes James. 813-239-9663. Dennis writes this, over a century ago, a British preacher pointed out that there are none so blind as those who will not see. 40 years ago, a popular musical group had a song entitled Whatever a Fool Believes, He Sees. Your first caller is the living embodiment of those observations. Regarding Trump siding with an aggressive, mass-murdering enemy of freedom and democracy, the appropriate response is lock him up, writes Dennis from Sarasota. Let's go again to the phones. We're going to go to Elio in Tampa. Elio, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, thanks for taking my call. I just dashed off that email, but because I just couldn't believe Les and Peter, who, in my opinion, are appropriately named. I'm wondering if maybe they weren't trolling, because how can somebody be that dumb? And the other thing that I'd like to say, the other comment I'd like to make, is about the fact that the Congress, a lot of them people, have been making it very, very easy for Trump to get away with this. And now we have this woman who's been setting up meetings through the NRA. Geez, I wonder what party they're talking about. So I wonder how many of these people in Congress are actually, you know, involved in their own way as well. So that's all I have.
All right, Elio, thanks a lot. Thanks. And you know, I got to say, Elio, it doesn't help to call names. But
yeah, I know. And I get a little upset when I think about, you know, where we're headed. So I apologize for that.
All right, Elio, thanks a lot. Let's go to Tim in Tampa. Tim, thanks for calling in. What did you think of that press conference yesterday?
Well, I was an intelligence officer for 20 years in the Army, and this guy is definitely compromised. When you look at his body language, you look at what he said on that stage, you look at Putin, at his body language, this guy has been compromised. Either his finances, this guy is probably worth about $50 million tops, or that dossier is 100% accurate.
Well, Tim, how do you know? I mean, how do we trust what you say?
Well, because, again, any fool can see that this guy, the intelligence, CIA, FBI, NSA, all our national agencies are telling him, showing him. He saw the information before we saw it. They give him a daily brief every morning of everything. Well, first of all, the guy don't read or he don't listen to his brief.
But in terms of body language, I mean, you're a former intelligence officer. How do we know that reading body language actually works?
Because it does work. It's a history of that. You can find that anywhere. But I can tell you how to watch. Look at the people around Trump when he's talking. Look at all his advisors, the people who are sitting around him when he's talking. They know he don't know what the heck he's doing. They know he's lying. You can look at their body language and tell. They're like, you know how you have the crazy uncle that you don't know what he's going to say when he's talking,
Yeah. When
he's in public? That's the body language I'm talking about.
You cover your face and you just, you roll your eyes.
Exactly.
All right,
exactly.
Tim. Tim, thanks a lot. Thank you very much for calling. Let's go to John in Port Richey. John, you're on. What would you like to say?
Hey, I'll try to be quick here, Rob. A few things. First of all, the one caller that said Trump tells the truth,
he contradicts
himself like on a daily basis, if not an hourly basis. So how can that anywhere be misconstrued as telling the truth? I'm confused about that. Second thing, all these people that are defending him saying there's no evidence, there's no facts, there's no this, where were they when they were making these same allegations against Hillary Clinton with just innuendos and I don't know, not even provable evidence? Where was all that outrage? And going back to his statements on the interview, I was listening to Sean Hannity the day before, and I swear he mentioned the same talking points that Hannity brought up. It was just amazing about the server, Hillary Clinton, blah, blah, blah. Dodged the question. So that was interesting. And the final thing I thought that was really funny is that he said something to the nature that if this was in Russia, they'd have those servers there, whatever. I forget exactly what his statement, just implying that they would have those there instead of, like, yeah. Hillary Clinton getting rid of them.
Right.
If this was in Russia, those servers would have been burned, trashed, disappeared. There would be that. They'd be wiped out from the books. There would be no mention of the servers. You'd go back in history. You couldn't even find a listing of the servers.
All right, John, thanks a lot. Thanks for your phone call. You know, I did think that Sean Hannity's interview last night was really soft. And was throwing softballs at the president. On the other hand, I thought Chris Wallace's interview was much better with Putin. Tony writes this, the picture of the American president kowtowing to the Russian thug dictator is one that should bother all Americans. And what hypocrisy given all the accusations of treason the right made against Obama. Meantime, Trump has succeeded in demolishing respect for and trust in the U.S. in democratic countries, Latin America, Canada, and most of Europe. Are we Americans such sheep that we can't force our senators and representatives to stand up to the Trump regime? Let's listen back to a little bit more of the press conference from yesterday. Here are the four times that President Trump deflected questions or avoided questions yesterday about Russian interference.
Do you hold Russia at all accountable for anything in particular? And if so, what would you consider them that they are responsible for?
Yes, I do. I hold both countries responsible. I think that the United States has been foolish. I think we've all been foolish. I think we're all to blame. I think that the United States now has stepped forward along with Russia, and we're getting together, and we have a chance to do some great things. I do feel that we have both made some mistakes.
For President Putin, if I could follow up as well, why should Americans and why should President Trump believe your statement that Russia did not intervene in the 2016 election, given the evidence that U.S. intelligence agencies have provided? And will you consider extraditing the 12 Russian officials that were indicted last week by a U.S. grand jury?
Well, I'm going to let the president answer the second part of that question. But just to say it one time again, and I say it all the time, there was no collusion. I didn't know the president. There was nobody to collude with.
Thank you. Question for each president. President Trump, yes. You first. Just now, President Putin denied having anything to do with the election interference in 2016. Every U.S. intelligence agency has concluded that Russia did. Who do you believe? My second question is, would you now, with the whole world watching, tell President Putin, would you denounce what happened in 2016, and would you warn him to never do it again?
So let me just say that we have two thoughts. You have groups that are wondering why the FBI never took the server. Haven't they taken the server? My people came to me, Dan Coats came to me and some others. They said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be, but I really do want to see the server. But I have confidence in both parties. But I have great confidence in my intelligence people, but I will tell you that President Putin was extremely strong and powerful in his denial today, and what he did is an incredible offer. He offered to have the people working on the case come and work with their investigators with respect to the 12 people. I think that's an incredible offer. Okay, thank you.
Do you think we should take up Putin's offer? What do you think? 813-239-9663. That's President Trump four times deflecting or avoiding questions yesterday about Russian collusion and acting, as you heard there, deferential to President Putin. What do you make of that? 813-239-9663. And you are listening to 88.5 FM. Rose writes this. During the press conference, a reporter asked Putin if we could trust him. Putin, Mr. KGB, said it straight out and smiled, you can't trust anyone. He told Trump and the world straight out that he was lying, and he smiled about it. It was one big gotcha, right, Rose, who's listening online in Germany. Let's go to, we're going to go to Mike in Nokomis. Mike, thank you for calling. What did you think of the press conference?
It was amazing, Rob. I had not seen the news all until the end of the day, and I must say I was dumbstruck. I could not believe what the president said. I find it treasonous. I was shocked that Putin agreed. They're not going to find a server. They don't know anything about modern computers. Otherwise, they would know that what was described by the FBI is very precise. How they did it, there's a trail the same as footprints and fingerprints left in computer networks. You don't need a server. But John McCain and these people are right. I was so dumbfounded. I tuned in to Fox and Friends this morning, and they literally glossed over it. They said, well, you know, the Dems are saying all this stuff. But and there's a couple of Republicans that are saying some things about it. But, you know, this just, you know, it's the same old thing. It's just, you know, the Dems trying to go get this guy with no proof. And they brought it back to that same old tired argument. I am shocked. I'm stunned.
And Mike, the question tried to the president tried to deflect these questions by pointing to Hillary Clinton's server and the DNC server. You said that you don't need a server to conduct an investigation. Do you work in computers?
Yeah.
Okay. So explain to the audience why you don't need the physical server to do an investigation into the contents of the server.
What you're looking for, what they were talking about, spear phishing and phishing, those type of things, you can see patterns in there. If you see those patterns, you see how that has been distributed, then the server is not what's needed. And in fact, the servers would be in multiple servers, the cloud that we now understand it. And that server would be somewhere in either deep in Russia. This was the Russian military. It's deep in there. Like what your caller said before, if there was a server that it was literally housed on instead of being shared inside of a network, that would have been destroyed and gone a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, it's like footprints and fingerprints. I don't have the shoes, but if I've got the footprints and it leads to this, I've got the fingerprints and it leads to this person, and that's how you do phishing and spear phishing and these things, that is the proof.
All right, so you're looking for the fingerprints and the footprints. All right.
I'm looking for the president to support what our nation has brought forth in information from NSA, CIA, the FBI. These are very hard facts, and this is treason.
All right, Mike, thank you for your thoughts. Great to hear from you. Thank you. And we're going to go to Rick in Parrish, Florida. Rick, you're on WMNF, 88.5 FM.
All right, good afternoon. I just have a question. Now, I watched that yesterday. And Donald Trump yesterday, he had a world stage, everybody watching. And he's a media-savvy guy. So he had this one golden opportunity. And it would have been theatrical, but he had this one golden opportunity to stare Putin in the face and say, enough, or whatever. He had that opportunity, and he blew it, and he sat there like a little schoolboy. But what I don't understand is how is the man who keeps on going on about how innocent he is, why didn't he take the world stage right then and there and tell Putin where it's at? He didn't do that. Instead, he sat there and pretty much he denounced the United States of America. That's all I have to say. Thank you. I'll listen offline.
All right, Rick. Thank you for your phone call. And Norder writes this: there never was a server. The DNC ran on a cloud-based system, so the server in question was many machines owned by a separate entity who likely hosted thousands of other customers. That's besides the fact that the FBI doesn't seize computers from people who have been hacked, writes Norder. And Sandlin writes this: I believe Trump is greedy, and greedy people believe BS. I also believe that the only thing Putin has on Trump is that they have the same agenda. It's not hidden, and Trump is scared of him. All the other stuff is just distractions. Never underestimate the power of distractions, writes Sandlin. And then Lester says, Senator McCain said it all. All right, and McCain very critical of the meeting yesterday between Trump and Putin. And our phone number, 813-239-9663. This is 88.5 FM. And we're going to go to Elizabeth in Riverview. Elizabeth, what did you think of press conference yesterday?
Stage as usual. Let's kind of forget that he's a president, this Mr. Tweet. He's also a businessman. Have you any knowledge of the amount of money that he has borrowed in Russia from Russian banks or whatever? How much does he owe those people?
That's something that we hope this investigation gets to the bottom of. David K. Johnston's book suggests that Trump borrowed money from Russians in order to bail out his gambling empire, but I don't, you know, even having read that book, I don't know if there's a number been assigned, but it's certainly in the millions. It'd be great to see his tax return so we could see.
Yeah. You aren't going to wait for it, are you?
Well, Elizabeth, I'm less cynical than you. I think the tax returns will come out.
You really do?
Oh, yeah. I think
I'm shocked. I figured there were, like everything else, there was a way they could hide them perpetually. Well, maybe not.
All right, Elizabeth, wonderful. Thanks a lot for your phone call.
Yes, sir.
All right,
bye.
Great to hear from you. Let's go to Russell in Tampa. Russell, you're on. What would you like to say about yesterday's Putin-Trump summit meeting?
Hey, Rob, I think you know where I stand. I'm a conservative. I was mortified, horrified. It was a disgrace. It was unbelievably terrible.
Russell, did you hear the soundbite that we played from Carl Bernstein, who said essentially it's up to Republicans now to do something? Do you agree with that?
I mean, that's what Democrats always say.
Okay,
powerless and useless, and Bernstein is a hack. But let me
whoa,
make my point.
Okay,
Bernstein is a very partisan guy. Doesn't bring a lot of credibility, objective credibility to this situation, Rob. He doesn't. Now, let me just make my point. Here's where I was flabbergasted. I cannot believe that Trump, when he had his chance in his opening remark, didn't take it on right there. He didn't say, President Putin and I have discussed this. We are of different minds as to how this happened. We're not going to agree on it. He feels one way. We feel another way. There is no solution to it today. But we'll work through. He could have taken it on proactively, taken the issue off the table, and he didn't. So then what happened was the media very smartly tried to pin him down on it, and he failed. So what I'm saying is I can't believe that your previous caller said this. A media-savvy guy like that, surrounded by supposedly intelligent people, doesn't have the presence of mind to do what I just said. You know, that was what was so shocking.
Well, that would have been a good setup. I think he would have saved himself a lot of trouble had he done that yesterday.
Well, and so I will forever not understand, why he didn't do that.
Feel that way. Maybe he doesn't think that way. Maybe he doesn't disagree with President Putin. As he said several times during that press conference, he thinks that President Putin is telling the truth.
Well, I'll leave you with this. And I mean this in all sincerity, and I'm a conservative. If President Trump will not put the country's interests above his own, he needs to be impeached.
All right, Russell, thanks. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Thanks for your views. Okay, so we've had several conservatives call in with a variety of views this morning. Thanks to all of them, and thanks to everybody who's called in today and who is listening to 88.5 FM. And let's go to Joe in St. Pete. Joe, you're on. What would you like to say?
Yes, two things I want to point out here. First of all, where do you have a summit and you don't have anybody else in the room but translators? There's something going on that you don't want people to hear. If you are representing a country, such as the president of a country, you should have other diplomats or other people in the room to hear what you're discussing. That's number one. Number two, he comes out and he said he did nothing but lie in that press conference. He said several things that were not true. And one of them that really stands out to me, first of all, he said that his intelligence people told him. What he should have said was that they went through a lot of discovery and they did a lot of work on this, and this is what they came up with. But he just kind of glossed over it. Then he said that the Electoral College favors Democrats, which is a glaring misrepresentation, because in all the last 20 years of presidents that have won the election that have been Republicans have won on the Electoral College. So, I mean, he's saying these things, and they're obvious in the truth.
Yeah, that when he said that about the Electoral College, I think people across the spectrum know that that was false. All right, Joe, thanks a lot.
All right,
great to hear from you, and you are listening to WMNF. And let's go back to the phones with Amy in St. Pete. Hi, Amy, you're on. What would you like to say about the press conference?
Thanks a lot. Yeah. You know, I'll just say right now, I think he's guilty.
Guilty of what? Of what?
Oh, of collusion with the Russians.
Okay.
That's the way it seems to me. You know, why else would he be so deflective all the time and defensive? He's defensive, and then he just tries to misdirect people's attention. I mean, if you can believe him saying to, well, Putin said they didn't do anything like that, so that's the truth. Well, why can't he believe, you know, the Democratic team that they didn't do anything wrong with their servers?
Or why didn't he believe his own intelligence agencies?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it kind of reminds me, you know, when Jeffrey Dahmer had that young man at the door, and he was running away from Jeffrey Dahmer, and the police, you know, knocked on the door and said, this guy belonged to you. And he said, yeah, you know, just lover squirrel, just nothing to see here. Shut the door. And then he, you know.
And the guy disappears. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's really obvious. And I think a lot of people don't really just. So amazing how people don't face the music about how awful what a horrible situation we're in now, that, you know, it's so deep that people can't even really fathom it. They can't handle it.
All right, really, Amy. We'll get through it together. Thanks, Amy. Sam writes this, do you think the interpreter was debriefed after the summit? My guess is that there may be some sort of record, either the interpreter's notes. It looked from the pictures like Trump's interpreter was a woman. Or maybe something else happened, too. It would be very interesting to see whether or not there was a recording made surreptitiously. But that is just pure speculation. I've got zero evidence of that. Donna writes this, I tried to call, couldn't get through. Here's my commentary. When in history has a U.S. president tweeted that the USA's stupidity and foolishness caused a rift in relations with Russia? When has a U.S. president called our European allies our foes? Anyone, including the president who sides with Russia, whose goal has always been to destroy world democracy versus siding with our own U.S. intelligence agencies, is guilty of treason. That's a Donna, part of her email from Waimama. Donna, thank you for that. And you are listening to WMNF in Tampa. Let's go to John in Palmetto. John, what'd you think of the press conference yesterday?
It was embarrassing for everybody. I would like to help straighten something out a little bit. There aren't charges for collusion. And even in the news networks keep saying that it wasn't evidence of collusion. Well, collusion is what they use as evidence for a conspiracy law. He will be charged with conspiracy, and they will use the fact that he was colluding with them for that. I would like to tell everybody that we're all probably shocked that the first caller wasn't notified by the intelligence community before, when he keeps saying, where's this and where's that? You know, that's pretty crazy. And I'll end it with the gentleman who was into intelligence for 20 years or something. He said, he's absolutely right. In Vegas, I don't care if you're, in a boardroom, body language is everything. It's called tells. And he was so reassured. I mean, he was holding his hands down below his crotch, a real sign that he was very humbly looking at Putin and couldn't stand to look at him for more than 3 seconds. He was real concerned at how he was being taken. He thought he was winning mommy over for the first time, and he wouldn't have to go back to his room. You know, they really were. What he says, the profiles are often made all the time by body language. You got to be ahead of the guy. So I think that, in the conspiracy indictment, there's supposed to be 3 or 4 or maybe 5 or 10 Americans that are going to go down in it. They are not. They right. are not going to release that.
All right, John, thanks a lot. Thanks. I mean, we'll see where that Mueller investigation goes. John, thank you very much. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up at 813-238-8001 and record your comment on extension 115. And we'll play your comments back tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. You are listening to 88.5 FM. This is WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg. Stay tuned for the latest news. And then right after that, your hero, Mark Biro, will be live here in the studio on WMNF Tampa.